You're listening to the latest preaching from Brixham Community Church.
I don't know how you express love and what you think of when you think of love. In fact, I said last time I was up here that Christmas actually can be a very lonely time, where people who feel they don't have much love in their lives, it's accentuated because Christmas sort of brings out all of that stuff and you see other people doing things together and all that sort of stuff. It can be quite a difficult time. For me, I've been very, very blessed. I've grown up in a very loving family, and I am now part of my own loving family. And I have different ways of expressing love and enjoying time at Christmas. And for me, I'm more about the time together. I'd rather not have any gifts, or I'd rather have gifts. But if it was a choice between, this is the truth, if it was a choice between spending time with loved ones and having the best present in the world, I'd rather spend time with people I love. I love being around people, and we're looking forward to going up north and seeing Andrea's family, and we'll just probably stay up talking too long, and because we just like spending time together, and that's for me a way of expressing love at Christmas. For other people, it is about the gifts, and they enjoy shopping like Paul does. He enjoys going around the shops with Jan, and she's saying, Paul, can we just go home now? She'll pretend she's got something in the oven. I've got mince pies in the oven. We've got to get back, Paul. And he says, no, let's just look around these more items. For other people, it's expressing love by retail therapy. In fact, there's a writer called Gary Chapman who wrote a book called The Five Love Languages. It's not a book about Christmas, and it's a book primarily aimed at married couples as well, and showing them that there are different ways of expressing love and different ways of feeling love from other people. And I want to talk about those five love languages and apply them to the Christmas story this morning. The first one I want to talk about is quality time. As I've said, I would rather spend time with someone than have a gift from them. Others of you, in fact, some of you actually, I'd just rather have a gift off you. Depends who it is. But for some of you, you'll be the quality time lovers, if you like. And if you don't know what your partner's love language is, and they may have two or three, but if you don't know what your partner's love language is, they usually express it without realizing. So they'll be really annoyed if you're talking to them or they're talking to you, and they haven't got your undivided attention. They want your undivided attention. I get quite annoyed if someone gets their phone out while I'm talking to them. And it's not because I used to be a teacher. It's just because I want their undivided attention. Not because it's all about me. I just think, look, we're together in this room. Let's talk. You know, let's just lay the social media to one side just for a moment. Because for me, quality time is one of my love languages. As I said, I'm not so bothered about the gifts. It's the time with people that is important. So if I haven't said to you, it'd be really nice to spend some time with you, it's probably because I don't love you. So anyway, I'm joking. I'm glad you laughed. The second one is words of affirmation. You're doing a great job. You're doing really well. It's good to see you. Words of affirmation. And you know the people who like to receive that because they do that a lot. And in fact, when I was doing some coaching for parents in my last job, one of the things we used to do is get parents to list the things they praise their children for. And we'd draw up, we'd have a flip chart like we had this morning earlier, but a bigger one. And one person would be doing the questioning, and the other person would, because we had two people hosting it, would be doing the writing down the list. But what they wouldn't know, the parents wouldn't know, is that as they were writing as we were scribing for the people who were giving ideas, you know, we'd praise them for tidying their bedroom, we'd praise them for emptying the dishwasher. What do we praise your kids for? Actually, if I was doing the scribing, I'd be writing it in two columns, with no headings. People didn't know there were two columns. And what it would be is, say, right, now let's have a look at this list. This is really long column here of some of the things you praise your kids for. And what's this really short column? Can you see how they're different? And the two columns were praise for doing and praise for being. And it's so easy just to praise kids for what they do. But actually, for all of us, the people who love words of affirmation, they love to be praised just for being who they are, for being lovely, for being handsome, for being beautiful, for being kind. Just praise for being. So words of affirmation are really important to those people. That's the way they share love. So if they write a Christmas card, they might write something nice in there. Okay, physical touch. Now, again, if the book was written for marriages, then you can understand that it goes quite deep here into the different types of physical touch that are only advisable within marriage. However, as just a community of believers, physical touch is really important. In fact, I went on a few websites and read some psychologists' reports about how important physical touch is. It's very important in early childhood. It's very important. If a baby is not held, it makes a huge difference. And physical touch is important, but for some people it's more important. Some people are more of a hug person and others are more of a high five person because they just don't want too much contact. So some people are more into the physical touch than others. And you see footballers, don't you, when they scored a goal, physical touch. It's not just a girly thing, it's not just a hug thing. And the chest bump, I love to see chest bumps. What's that all about, you know? And like that. So that's the only chest bump I do. It's like I'm on my own chest bump because there's no one else out there to do that. Anyway, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry. I just apologise. Chest bump, fist bump. There's lots of ways of showing physical touch and showing love through physical touch. And as a teacher, you have to be very careful, don't you? But and I think that's a shame because it's not a shame in some ways. It's absolutely right that we have safeguarding in place, you know. But I think it's a shame where teachers feel like they can't physically touch a child, even just to say, you know, good job. Just a touch on the shoulder, you know. I think that's really important. Another thing I read years and years ago said that for someone to be truly happy, they need 8 meaningful touches every day. You know, whether it's just a pat on the back or a handshake or whatever. Now, I don't know how many people get that, but 8 meaningful touches, not just touches, but meaningful touches, a touch that means something, whether it's a handshake that means something or a pat on the back or whatever it is. So physical touch, important to a lot of people. It's a love language. Is it your love language? I don't know. Acts of service. Now, that sounds quite interesting. We don't like the word service sometimes. We like, I don't know, it just sounds a bit odd. In fact, I remember Andrea coming back from a holiday with a friend. They'd been to Newquay, and they asked this waiter, they were chatting to this waiter, and they just sort of asked, so what are you into? And they thought that he'd said, I live to serve. And then they said, well, what do you mean by that? That sounds really good. Maybe he's a Christian. I live to serve. And he started talking about surfing. And they realised it was not, they'd misheard him. Because acts of service, it's kind of actually, if you're into acts of serving, then you're the sort of person who wants to show love by doing the dishes, by washing someone's car for them, by not, you don't mind going up, getting waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and going bailing them out and getting them sorted and sorting people out and helping them out. Acts of service is another love language. And when someone does that for you, when someone makes you a cup of tea or just does something really simple for you, it means a lot to you. And for other people, it doesn't mean so much because they want a bigger gift or they just want to spend time with you or whatever. So Gary Chapman, these are the 5 love languages. The last one is gift giving. So we see that at Christmas. And you see a lot of these at Christmas. You the physical touch one, you often hug someone. Oh, thank you for that gift. Or acts of service. Again, you know, kids, if your mum's worked hard to cook you a nice meal, you should at least do all the washing up, put everything away, hoover up afterwards, and make her put her feet up. Am I right, mothers? Not that that was a stereotypical comment, because fathers do cook Christmas dinners sometimes as well. I just realised, shouldn't have said mums. Anyway, gift giving, so we do that at Christmas too, and receiving gifts. And who'd rather have a surprise as a gift? Put your hand up. If you're going to get a gift, who'd rather have a surprise? Who'd rather actually know what it is so you can look forward to it for longer? Who'd prefer that? Yeah, we're in the minority. Yeah, I like surprises, but if something really good's coming, the enjoyment is in the anticipation. I can't wait for Christmas because I'm going to get this prize, this prize, not surprise. So, yeah, some of us like surprises. But as I read the Christmas story, I don't think I have to stretch my imagination too far to find that all 5 of these languages are languages that God speaks. So whatever, as I've been talking, whatever you think your love language is, I think God's speaking your language this morning, and he has a way of communicating his love to you through the Christmas story. So I'm going to read an odd passage from the Bible. If you're not familiar with the Bible, this is from a gospel, which means it's a book written about Jesus. and it's chapter 1 of John's Gospel. Now, most of the other Gospels, there's four of them, they start with a Christmas story, or they start with something. Mark's a bit brief, but Matthew and Luke, certainly, they talk about how Jesus was born. You've got the kings, the shepherds, all the stuff we're familiar with, the nativity. John starts quite philosophically and almost poetically talking about Jesus as the Word of God. If you think of God as this ultimate being of magnificent proportions, this infinite being, and he wants to speak to the world through a person, we think of Jesus as the Word of God. Okay, so that's just one of the concepts that was going around at the time. So John talks about Jesus as God's Word. So where it says Word, it means Jesus. We know this from other writings, so that's fine. So in the beginning, the Word already existed. This is the New Living Translation. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. So this isn't the Word, this isn't Jesus becoming born in a manger yet. This is going right back to year dot and saying, actually, Jesus was there at creation. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So John the Baptist went before Jesus, the Word. He came into the very world he created. So that's why John took pains to say that in the beginning was the Word. Jesus existed right from the beginning. And just to show what this must have been like for Jesus, coming into the world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. Imagine that. He came to his own people and they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the rights to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." Thank you for bearing with me on that rather long reading. Now, I don't know if while you're listening to that, you're thinking, how's John going to find these five love languages in there? Well, as I read it, I kind of saw a few things in there, and perhaps I'm applying other parts of the Bible into that passage just to show that God is speaking your love language this morning. Let's start with quality time. Think about it. God, creator of the universe, Jesus was there as creator of the universe, and he decides to enter our world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us for a time. He wanted to spend time with his creation. He created this world. He created us at the pinnacle of creation, in the creation story, whether you believe it's a myth or a physical reality, that the point of the creation, one of the points in the creation story is the last thing God makes was human beings, and he makes them in his own image. Human beings are at the pinnacle of his creation, and he wants to spend quality time with them. So he came and he dwelt among us, it says in the passage we just read. He dwelt among us. He lived with people for a time, and he still wants to spend quality time with you today. You can do that through prayer. You can do that through reading the Bible. You don't even have to be a Christian to pray. You don't even have to have any kind of certificate to prove you've been baptized to pray. You just just talk to God. And I challenge you this morning, if you come away from this short talk wondering what it's all about and you're not quite sure and you're not ready to commit, if that's how you feel, I would just encourage you anyway, even if it's in your bedroom or in the quietness of your car or whatever, talk to God and see what happens. What's the worst that can happen? If he's not real, then you just seem a bit silly, but no one was listening anyway. If he is real, there's a chance he might talk back to you in a way that perhaps you didn't expect. He wants to spend quality time with you. Words of affirmation is the second love language I talked about. Well, I believe Jesus as the word is the ultimate word of affirmation. To affirm someone means to encourage or to build them up. And how more encouraging is it for the God of the universe to say, you're worth me coming to earth for. You're worth me coming and dying. You're worth everything I've got. That's the greatest word of affirmation, Jesus, the Word of God, coming to earth for us. The third one we talked about was physical touch. The Word became flesh. He became a physical human being. He wanted to touch humanity in a personal and physical way. There were some people knocking around in the first century who couldn't get their head around the idea that God could become human, and they were called the Docetists because they thought, well, it doesn't matter why, but they thought Jesus was only seemingly human. And so it's really important that these passages are here to say Jesus was incredibly 100% human as well as 100% God, which we're not supposed to understand. It's just one of those philosophical things we'll never really get until we reach heaven. But he wasn't just seemingly human. He was physically a human being. He felt tired. He slept. He felt all the feelings that we have. He was tempted in every way. He physically touched our world. And it was through physical touch that his divinity was validated, that his God status was proved. Because there was this woman who just had to touch the hem of his garment, the hem of his cloak or whatever he was wearing, and she was healed. Through physical touch, he healed people. And it was through a physical body that he died and rose again. He shows his love through physical touch, through acts of service, the things I've just been talking about, the ideas that we've been singing about, the idea that God would come to earth in a physical body and serve us. Jesus himself said, the Son of Man, that was one of the titles he gave for himself, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life. He came to serve us. He saw the mess we were in, and he sees the mess that some of us are in today, and he wants to serve us. It's hard for us to accept sometimes that such a magnificent God would actually want to serve us, but that's our God. That's the way he wants to show love to some of us this morning, to all of us this morning. And of course, the gift giving. We think about Christmas gifts, but that is the Christmas gift. The birth of Jesus is God's gift to us, the greatest gift. If you like gifts, well, it was nice that the wise men brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus, but the greatest gift that happened that day was God giving his Son so that he could die for us. See, you might find it hard to understand this. You might find it hard to accept that God could love you that much, that he wants to spend quality time with you, that he wants to give you words to build you up, that he himself is the word of affirmation, that he wants to let you know that he wants to physically impact your world. You might find it hard to believe that God would want to serve you. And you might find it hard that God would want to have any gifts for you, that you might just feel like you don't deserve that, or you just might think it's all craziness. But I want to tell you this morning, God is real, Jesus is real, and he wants you in his life, and he wants him to be in your life. That's why he came to earth. That's why he showed his love in these different ways. If the band could come up and get ready, we're going to finish with a song. We've got some of these 4 points cards. They're really simple to understand, but very difficult to accept for some of us. I'll show you the cards. And Roger and Mandy, where are you? Give us a wave. Right, see these two handsome and beautiful people at the back here? Just give us a wave again. Yeah, yeah, because the description might confuse some people when they see the reality. Sorry. They've got some of these cards in a Christmas card for anybody who wants to pray this through or just wants prayer at the end anyway. But there are 4 points to it. And the first one is a heart. And it just basically means, oh, it's gone. it's gone. Never mind. That doesn't matter. The first one's a heart. It means God loves you. The second one is a cross. It means I have sinned. It just basically means that all of us have sinned. None of us are good enough for God. None of us are good enough for heaven. The third one is a cross. Jesus died as a punishment for what I did wrong and what I've done wrong. And then the question mark is the fourth point. I've got a decision to make. Am I going to follow Jesus or not? So while the band are just playing quietly in the background, I'm just going to say a prayer. And I'd like you to bow your heads, close your eyes. And if you choose to follow Jesus today, you will begin the start of a brand new life. There was a man who came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And they were talking about it, and this guy had come to Jesus at night. And Jesus used a phrase, and he was talking about being born again. He says, you must be born again. Jesus wants to give you a brand new start, and he can do that today. If you want to start your journey with God this morning and say a prayer with me this morning, why don't you, while no one's looking and every eye's closed, every head is bowed, why don't you just slip your hand up now just so I know I can pray for you? Is there anybody this morning? Well, that's just fine. I'm going to say the prayer anyway, and if you want to join in, and if you want to pray with Roger, or just chat to Roger and Mandy afterwards, or chat to me afterwards, that's fine too. Father God, I know that I have done wrong. I have sinned. It's not a popular word, but it's the truth. I know that I'm not good enough for heaven, and if I died tonight without you, there would be no way I would be allowed into heaven. And I thank you, Jesus, that you died for me to take away my sins. You took the punishment that I deserved so that I can be with you. And I choose to accept that as truth, and I choose to walk in your way. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit brixham.church.